This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. Before we begin, a recommendation. If you're looking to add another podcast to your life, and particularly if you're hoping to learn a little something in your downtime, maybe give TED Radio Hour a try. The episodes are based on TED Talks, and they bring ideas from riveting speakers to life. You can find the TED Radio Hour podcast at npr.org/podcasts. This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
And I'm ASAP Ferg from the ASAP Mob.
What up, Ferg?
What's up, bro?
What's happening?
I'm taking it easy. Trying to get to LA because this New York weather is killing me.
It's a real problem.
I wish I understood. No, I do feel the pain.
I feel the pain in my joints, my bones, man.
You're too young to be speaking like that, first.
Yeah, man. I've been going extra hard, man. They had me dancing yesterday because I was shooting a video. It's a song I got called Dope Walk. And basically, it's like me and Cara Delevingne, you know, the supermodel. She was... We're battling each other, like, through FaceTime. So, like, they had me dancing all day yesterday, so I think that's what it was. I ain't dancing years like that.
It's kind of difficult to do a couple of things when it's cold. I hate doing videos is, like, really a challenge.
Imagine doing movies.
Or performing. Or doing movies. I could only imagine, like, when it's cold, at least for me. I'm a baby when it comes to the cold, and last year I made the decision that after that last winter that I don't have to do it anymore.
Right.
So I did something about it, and I'm in L.A. now.
But you know what? Something about New York that I love the urgency that we have out here. It makes you want to hustle and grind. And, you know, I even been taking the train lately, like, because Fashion Week was so crazy. Like, due to, like, you know, Fashion Week being also All-Star Week, Fashion Week / All-Star Week, the roads was, like, blocked, like, all the time. So I was just taking the train, like. And then just me, the feel of me taking a train just reminded me of when I didn't have much or when I was just starting, and it kind of brought me back to that place of like, yeah, you got to get it.
Did people recognize you on the train?
They do all the time, but I throw a hoodie on and things like that.
What happens when people recognize you?
Well, when I used to take the train a lot, like before, I used to put my head in my lap all the time, like just so people, like I'd be sleeping on the train, and then by the time I hear my stop, I'll get up and just leave. But sometimes I've gotten like people stand over me like, yo, I was just listening to your song, like I was just listening to Kissin' Pink, yo, you blacked on that song with like whoever I was on the song with. So I mean, it's cool, but it was weird at first because it's like, damn, I can't take the train no more. So that's when I stopped taking the train. But like just recently this week, I like been taking the train and it's been cool. And I had face paint, like I had like this tribal face paint on, so they probably didn't even like recognize me off the bat.
You would think that would bring more attention to you.
Nah, but I had the hoodie on, so I was like, oh, who's this bugged out dude on the train?
Let me leave this dude alone. Yeah.
Exactly. In New York, people are like, he's got face paint on, I'm gonna go to the other car.
Yeah, I had like warrior face paint on.
Yeah, what is that all about? Where does that come from?
I just woke up and felt like doing it.
Okay, but you
on some
did it
on some
twice.
Beyonce type ish. I woke up like this.
Yeah. Are you gonna keep doing it?
Probably not. I mean, it was a feeling. Like I'm an artist at the end of the day, and that's just felt like expressing myself through that medium, that particular day, or those days.
Okay. Yeah. Why are you sometimes inspired to make things like? For the ear and sometimes the eye? And how do you know whether, like, a feeling should go into a song or should go into something visual?
It's just a feeling I get. Like, you know, sometimes I can't sleep because I can't get a melody or a beat out my head. So I'll just have to wake up and, like, record it on a voice note. And I don't even, like, sometimes I don't even check the voice note to do the beat or make the song. Like, I just have to get it out.
Right.
And that's just, like, for a music standpoint. And visually, like, sometimes, like, colors motivate what I want to do. Or just, like, trees or nature or buildings, projects, like, gritty grime. Like, whatever, Harlem, you know, motivates the visual sometimes. Like, whatever, like, I'm inspired by at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there something visually of the now modern period that has really struck you and has been like you think really influential or will be something that people will kind of look towards and speak about like 20, 50 years from now?
Visually?
Yeah.
I feel like no, and that's why like there's a void that needs to be filled. That I feel like that's where I come into place, as far as visually. You know, a lot of rap has been putting out a lot of subpar visuals. I feel like the visuals could be better. You know, everything is accessible. Nothing is like building sets and, you know, taking it back to Hype Williams days when, you know, they was building sets and, you know, actually like, you know, shooting like crazy videos. And I understand like, you know, it's all due to budgeting and things like that. But I feel like, you know, it's ways to go around it and still be creative. And that's where I come into play. It's like, cause I miss those videos and, you know, I will link with Missy, and Busta Rhymes, and we'll talk about these things. I'll be like, yo, I miss those days where the crazy videos and the visuals was out. Like, it was an event. I mean, I feel like when I go to Worldstar, when I see a video, I only watch it about once or twice because it's not that interesting no more.
The Doe Active video. I've seen it.
You seen it already?
Theola hooked me up.
Oh, you got the hookup!
I have a question about the Timon type animals that are on your shoulder.
Those are lemurs.
Are they two different types of lemurs?
Yeah, it's two different. One of them has like a striped tail and it's black and white. That's the first one that you see me on the phone with. And then the other one that's eating the icy is brown. And one is a boy and one is a girl. The brown one is a girl.
Well, my theory was you lost one.
Oh, nah. We actually had three, but the last lemur is like the mother lemur, and she was real aggressive. And, you know, we had a bunch of girls there. We didn't need her, like, jumping on people and stuff.
Okay. So what's the inspiration behind that, and what are you trying to convey with Timon-type animals on your shoulder
well,
in Miami?
Well, first of all, I love animals.
Okay.
I'm an animal lover. And second of all, you know, I just thought it was, like, visually, it looked good, so I just did it. They mad, they mad, they mad, why they mad? They mad and they mad, they mad, they mad, they mad, they mad, they mad and they mad. You mad, you and you mad, yeah. I'm bowling, bowling, yeah. I'm shot calling. To go grills when I wake in the morning. You can smell that champagne when a nigga be yawning. Ain't I straight shitting on your gorgeous lyrical colonic? Got $100 bill for every bump on your face. I got $100 bill for every bump on your face. I got $100 bill for every bump on your face. I got $100 bill for every bump on your face. I got $100 bill for every bump on your face. Damn, I looked at your mama like, damn, your son a disgrace. I got $100 bill for your face. I'm trying to clean my house. I walkie-talkie, my maid. I got $100 bill for every bump on your face. This shit make no sense. I got taste. Girls come to my house and have an orgy parade. I just hit them like this and leave them horny for days. My daddy said I'm a prince.
Yeah.
Now I'm a king. He sacrificed it with the heaven. Now I'm living his dream. You gotta walk like this. You gotta talk like that. I talk this shit into existence. Now my stack's on rack. I got stacks on stacks, stacks on racks, racks on top of stacks and stacks on top of them racks.
I like it.
I love it. I love it.
You brought up Missy, and you posted on Instagram recently. You were in the studio with her and Timbo.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tweeted at you. She said that you played her some fire.
Yeah.
What is happening? Please tell us everything.
You know, it's just vibing. That's it. You know what I'm saying? She's been like one of my biggest inspirations in life. Way before I was rapping, I was like looking at Missy videos and loving her music and just the visuals. I never imagined that I would one day be doing music and, you know, dope visuals like that as well. So just for us to share that moment with one another, that was like the biggest thing for me. And just talking and learning, you know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, pressed to do music or nothing like that when it comes to these type of artists that I look up to, because I have to just jump in the passenger seat when I'm with Missy or Timbaland and just learn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they got a lot of knowledge for me to like, you know, absorb. So I don't want to just be so quick to, you know, get a song done and then just keep bouncing with life. I want to enjoy this. I want this moment to last forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a couple of things that they taught you?
One thing she did tell me was my music inspired her. And, you know, it kind of solidified what they was doing, what they was working on. You know what I'm saying? Because once you become as big as you, as Timbaland and Missy, there's a sort of gap or detachment you get to, like, the youth or just, like, what's going on in the streets. You know, it's kind of hard for you to be doing, like, you know, huge things and still be, like, knowing what's happening on street level. So,
like, they can't take the train anymore.
They can't take the train no more, or they can't even walk through, like, a supermarket, or they can't do, like, I'm pretty sure, like, in certain neighborhoods, but they can't do it in, like, Harlem unless they with me. But, you know, like, just to, you know, hear my music and where I'm coming from, it showed that they still had the attachment to it all. Like, it was still, it wasn't detached from, you know, where the music actually came from.
Okay.
So it was a verification.
Right. Ali, have you struggled with that ever?
No, but we haven't gotten to the popularity or the place of popularity where it's you can't move around. So
no,
I don't know what that
you
feels
guys
like.
Are juggernauts. I don't know what you're talking about, bro. Hey, listen, I just think that it's a certain type of artist. I just think it's a certain type of artist who can walk the streets. And like J. Cole is huge, but he could walk and march with the people. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like, you know, Mos Def was taking cabs like when he was out here. You know, just like roaming the streets. I walk the streets like, you know, even though kids come up to me and take pictures, I'm cool with that. I don't ever want it to be to a point where I feel uncomfortable to walk the street.
Right.
Or like whatever, because I feel like that's when you become a prisoner of your own like success. And I don't want that to happen. Like that's one of my worst fears. Like I become so huge that I can't do regular things no more. I love like, you know, just walking around and looking at stores and hanging out with my friends, like doing regular stuff that they do. Even though it's a little different for me now. But
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never felt that. I'm comfortable anywhere. The only place I'm not comfortable is in the virtual world and having, you know, like going to just what I feel is I'm going to support my friends at a simple birthday dinner, and I don't feel like it being plastered up, you know, everywhere. And I understand that that's the culture now. That's just a personal thing for me. That
as far as it being like fake?
Not fake, but I just don't have a comfort level of, like, I don't post and take pictures of where I am, what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
I know that that's the culture, you know, so, and I'm real comfortable in any environment and having it obtain that level of, like I'm saying, it's not like Jay-Z or Beyonce walk popularity.
Yeah.
But in terms of uncomfortable spaces, certainly on these electronic virtual worlds, I'm not comfortable.
But you know what? There's artists that don't like none of that stuff. Like Kendrick doesn't post a lot. Like he's not good with tweeting or like his Instagram. At one time he had like one, I don't know if it's still like that, but he has like one picture on his Instagram with like a million followers. And you know, I'm not really like I could do the Instagram because I got accustomed to it and it's cool. Like, you know, I just started taking pictures because my cousin was like, yo, you got to start showing these people what you're doing. Like, so like, you know, it was as simple as like him pulling out a camera, just taking a picture of me, like, because he rolls with me everywhere I go. So he just takes a picture of me wherever I'm at and I can just post it. But as far as like my business and putting it out there, I'm the same exact way, because I didn't, like, you got to mind you, I didn't want to be the rapper. I thought rapping was corny, like, oh, I'm not about to be a corny-ass rapper wearing the big chains and, you know, doing this and doing that, until Rocky showed me that you could be a cool rapper and change the game and be innovative with it. And we did it a different way. We did it our way. We did it, like, the real way, like, how we really were. Like, before we was rapping, we was really wearing $3,000 sneakers by Rick Owens and Margiela and into fashion and going to underground parties in Soho and things like that. So all we doing is showing the world what we did
right now. There are different artists who definitely have left their mark on the genre. What do you think you guys' mark is right now?
It's definitely the fashion culture, it's the art culture. But it's still so early for all of us.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? You know, I got big plans, and as far as sonically with the music, I want to take it to, like, new levels, like, to a height where no other artist from New York ever took it, or in the world.
Can we talk about that? Because I know that for you, like, your Trap Lord album, it sounds like you. Even though there's, you know, elements, I think, of trap music, it's... there's a difference in the particular production. What is...
Right. Thank you for pointing that out. Because, like, I'm not really... like, I like trap music, but I wouldn't consider my music or, like... I wouldn't consider that the genre that, you know, really pertains to me. It's... when I said Trap Lord, the name came from me just working and having different hustles all my life. Like, you know, I grew up, like, printing shirts, like, hundreds and hundreds of shirts, 400 shirts front and back, all three-color jobs, manually, with my father for Bad Boy and D-Block and Rough Riders and all of these guys. Like, mm-hmm. I was coming out of high school printing shirts and picking up checks from daddy's house, like, you know, from Puff and all of them, when mm-hmm. at a young age. And then I started making jewelry, and then I started making accessories, belts and things like that. And my clients was like Swiss Beats and Chris Brown before I was even doing music. So that's why Yams named me the Trap Lord, because I had so many different traps, and I'm the lord of it. You know, I do it to the best ability each time.
So is that, in a way, what you're talking about, I think, is taste?
Yeah.
Is like noticing things and putting them together and whatever. Mm-hmm. Is that how you approach production? Like, what are you looking for in a sound?
I'm looking for pleasure each time. It has to feel good. Like, I don't know, like, how to make a specific type of song each time. But I know, like, when I press keys, or like when I tell my producer, press this, press that, I know what type of sounds I want to hear. And it makes me feel good. It makes me cringe up inside. And that's what you hear in my music. Like, when you hear, like, a beat that sounds really good, but it's different, that's just, like, solely coming from me.
I gotta close the window before I record, because New York don't know how to be quiet. Word. Stand up. Word. Third. Coochie down to the socks like I'm Biggie Popper. Keep your girl head in my Tommy boxes. But when it out, she a silly hoe. Cause she know the freaking style can't play me though. She don't get nothing from my nigga though. Or she get his hard dick and some Cheerios. Kinda send it out, but I'm never out. But I put him in the dark with the penny low. No tint out on my window. So you see a nigga shining in the Benzo. Holy. Got me feeling like Jim Jones. I'm a pimp though, no limp though. Couldn't copy my style in Kinko's. Put in work, run up on the killer, then I put him in the dirt. Run up in the building, see me gon' squirt. That's what a nigga get when they get into my nerves. I ain't lying. Lay him on that curb, run on the killer who be coming that firm. Girl, you twerk, twerk that kitty girl, make it turn. Put in work, Flacco, put him in the dirt. Got the shovel, he gon' put him in the earth. Trinidad maniac with the all gon' hurt. Yeah, put him work. Schoolboy Q with a pound of the perk. So much work, he'll smoke up the earth. Pull no brown, ASAP, yo.
And that's why I feel so attached to my music, because it all comes from me. It's not like, you know, I tell producers to send me stuff. Or even when I used to tell producers to send me stuff, I used to be looking for different things that made me feel good.
To me, it's also, like, really, really big.
What?
The sounds. The pieces of each song. Which makes me want to ask a couple questions. One is about, like, I don't actually think that somebody from L.A. would choose the beats that you choose.
Right.
And I wonder how that relates to just, like, you know, what you were saying, like, what you see every day. Or, I know you travel a lot.
Right.
What you grew up seeing. And then also how that leads you to make these enormous songs that, like, jump off the album. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
This is... These are hits. Ali has some numbers about that, actually. But, I mean, first, sorry. I guess the first question would be, in terms of the size of the pieces of your songs,
right?
What does that have to do with New York, if anything?
What you mean the size?
They're really fucking loud.
Like loud as far as like disturbingly loud or like what you mean by
the
loud?
The bass is very, very loud. Mm-hmm. The bass is very heavy.
I have some songs that don't have bass in it though.
Okay.
Like Hood Pope.
Yeah.
It's not really bassy like that. Cocaine Castle. Or like, you know, only songs really with bass is like probably like Shabba and Work. You know, that's the obvious songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that just happened to be that. And, you know, the producers made it like that, but it wasn't specific. I didn't ask for more bass or anything like that.
Okay.
It's then definitely presence. Your music has a strong, very full frequency.
Thank
presence.
You.
It sounds good.
Like thank
it
you.
It just bangs.
I just want to bring innovation to the industry or to the world, if you may. Like, I don't want to do any boring stuff. I said if it starts getting boring to me, I'll just stop making music because I can do other things. Like, I went to college and everything for marketing management, and, you know, I run businesses, and I have my own, like, storefronts and stuff like that before I was making music. So I make music because I enjoy it, and as soon as it stops, like, getting fun for me, I'm, like, going to do real estate or fly helicopters or some shit.
Helicopters. All right.
I'm taking helicopter lessons too.
Oh, that's cool.
I got like a couple certificates. I got to get more hours in.
Wow. So does thinking like that lead you into a song-based career instead of an album-based career?
No. I think about albums. I think about skits. I think about 15-minute songs. Like, I think about, I got a song called Make a Scene on Trap Lord, and it goes into Fuck Out My Face. Make a Scene, the beat is the same exact beat as Fuck Out My Face, but Fuck Out My Face is just reversed. You know what I'm saying? The beat is reversed. So it's just like one full song. So it goes from like Make a Scene, and then it's like a little skit in the middle, the beat don't stop, and then it goes into Fuck Out My Face. So when y'all get a chance, listen to Make a Scene, and then it's going to just like go into, but I got it to where you could listen to either one, but it sounds connected when you just like letting the songs run through the album.
Get the fuck out of my face. Get the fuck out my motherfucking 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 face.
Who's that? The green thumb? Anybody seen him? Not another white bitch. Time for a rerun. Need some green, some seen some homie. Send you a ton, but I keep some homie. Queen, the Kanye Blaze, old team on lean on pieces sway. Scatter when the pump got a quitter all splattered. Have another hit, but I wanna hit the shatter. Dabbing all night really got me faded. Take a hit of my shit, feel upgraded. Twist that shit like your weave got braided. Chilling in the palm trees, feeling real shaded. Pass that shit like a deadly virus. She wanna hit that Smiley Cyrus. Hit it so hard, oh my god, she likes this. Change that chick's name to Miley Cyrus.
ASAP Fergie, ASAP Marvin. This is on my boss hat. When I make a Martian, not a Miss America, picking any target. Bitch, give me long neck like an ostrich. Aston Matthews in Aston Martin. Driving retarded, sipping on the Chrissy, cause the nigga really ballin'. Heading to the telly with a bunch of Kelly Clarkson.
They let it up from Harlem. They let us see a bra in, another bra in. Kiss and massage them, give them booty shots, might Nicki Minaj them. They let it give me hard then. Tell a friend, give me Josh like a shotgun. He'll play Halle Berry in muscle ballin'. I'll be trapped, Lord Billy Bob Carson.
Oh, so, you think in terms of album, which means usually it's like a full vision, full concept.
Definitely.
Where is this new record going to go? I don't know how much you want to go into it. I don't know what the release date is of it.
Yeah.
I'm itching to get a taste of the new album.
It's going to be big because when I made Trap Lord, I was in Harlem most of the time. I was in New York most of the time. It was very cold. I just came out of depression because, like, you know, I dropped out of school, like, twice. I tried it, and it just wasn't working out for me. And, like, I just was, like, in a stuck place. I was probably, like, around, like, 20 years old at the time. I feel like that's one of the toughest times in somebody's life. And I just remember telling myself, man, if I'm not going to go to college, I might as well spend 2 years at home trying to figure this music out, like, try to figure something out. Like, I'm going to study. I'm going to teach myself. And that's what, and it came faster. I said 2 years, and it came in a couple months.
So when you say, like, is it in Fergavicious when you say I'm all by myself, or I'm so alone, alone at this, or something like that?
No,
that...
I say Fergavicious. I forgot the hook. I can't even think about the hook right now.
I think it's like towards the end where you just keep, it's like almost like a mantra.
Surviving on my own.
Yeah.
I feel the pain. All I know is pain. Surviving on my own. I feel the pain. Because, you know, I was talking about my father dying in the song. I'm talking about my father meeting Rocky's father in heaven. And them, like, riding in a white car together. And my pops running into, like, Nicole Smith. And, like, you know, her, like, on him. Like, it's like a whole, like, visual I talk about in the second verse. And then, like, you know, the first verse is just me talking about, like, you know... just like chilling with the homies and Schoolboy Q. We call him ASAP Q when he with us. Yep. But I was just going to say the whole thing, like, with just when I created Trap Lord, I was a trapped person. Like, I felt trapped. And, you know, with this next album, it's like I traveled the world. My mind opened up. You know, I'm listening to different music. You know, I did songs with Haim. I did songs with Ariana Grande. You know, I was in the studio with Madonna, you know, for her album, just listening to things and, you know, listening to what she had to tell me. So it's just like all of these worlds is like in one for me. And, you know, that's affecting the music, I will say.
I'm curious to just really hear where you're going to go, because not, you know, it's one thing to, as an artist, to, you know, be in your own environment, in your own element, and you're creating strictly from what you've experienced in your life up until that moment you're on the microphone or you're right. expressing your art. But then through success, you know, go to other areas, you experience other people and their struggle, and you identify with what they're going through, or you open to something completely new, and now you're trying to figure that thing out. But of that, the world is changing constantly.
Constantly, every day.
So... I'm just curious to know, you know, like, for example, with what has been revealed publicly and the experience of Ferguson, you know, the experience of Eric Garner, stuff that we know about, yeah. we live it, you know, but it's now on more of a global platform. And there are certain things, I think, in life that you go, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
Something has to happen. Something different has to happen. It has to be a change. And I'm just curious as to know, like, how are you affected moving into this next album with the constant changes of where things are?
Well, I've released a mixtape called Ferg Forever with DJ Drama, and everybody loved it. And went platinum on NatPiff.com. You know, everybody from Puff and Swiss was, like, you know, tweeting about it, and Big Sean was on it. SZA from TDE was on it. MIA was on it. Let It Go remix with my artist, Crystal Canes. So, like, you know, I'm talking about a lot of those subjects on that album. I'm talking about commitment issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the whole Ferguson thing. That's on the last song. I'm touching base on real things, because what I wanted to do, you know, the whole reason why... we haven't been putting music out, or, like, you know, it seemed like it was like a big gap, you know, with the mob putting out music, was because we were supposed to put out an album. We released Trillmatic and one of 12E Records and videos, and we never put out the album after that because we felt like it wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big gap left. So that's why I put out that mixtape, to show people my growth and me as a person, because I felt like through working Shaba, you know, that was a part of me. That's a happy me or a turned up me. But y'all don't know these other songs.
Right.
So I wanted to put out something to give the people a part of me and my thoughts on things, because I know a lot of people don't really read interviews and stuff like that. So I just got to give it to them through the music and the visuals.
Ferg forever. Ferg forever. Ferg forever. ASAP Mob forever. ASAP Mob forever. ASAP Mob forever. Gangsta Grills leaves a legacy. Leaves a legacy. That will last forever.
Gangsta Grills.
And like that. And like that. We gone, we gone, we gone.
Gangsta Grizzly.
All I ever wanted was a Clamps Casino beat to talk about oppression that's repressing my peeps. Ride around in that green hoopty with my Uncle T and WA blasting. We're screaming, fuck the police, fuck them. Cause them give two shits about me. I mean, we, when I say Ferguson, they talk about me. Lil Brown, Mike Brown, shot down in Missouri. They keep us in Missouri and get a desk job when the car wanna leave. They don't even take the badge of racist ass, just take a president to make him black. Hope that we live in bliss and take a nap. They create with the same brush that paint the past. Cause it's still the same shit. We don't run enough for no help, cause you know we bound to get hit. All I ever wanted was a Clamp Casino beat to talk about these hating motherfuckers talking about me. All I ever wanted was a Clamp Casino beat to talk about these hating motherfuckers talking about me. Let's talk about hate. Hating the game, be the same niggas that you made your friend. You give me your beat, then play it then. Now you run around town like I made my name. Showed you nothing but love.
So strange to range.
Just wanted to see you make some change. What about old friends who claim I changed? I ain't changed, I'm grown about my change. All I needed was a Clamps Casino beat to talk about this loyal fans that be talking about me. All I needed was a Clamps Casino beat to talk about these loyal fans that be talking about me. Let's talk about fans. Are they fake or real? They happy when you make the deal. They build you up to make the kill, to break you down and claim you ain't real. Why you do songs with a pipe icon? Oh, he moved on. Drink the prayer. Fly state to state to white girls in the zone. Mr. Hollywood don't like us no more. Nah, that's a lie. I like any girl with eyes, cutie pies, fat ass, sumo thighs. Any complexion, girl, you could be mine.
You mentioned Dilla and Fergus, Ferg, how you say it? Fergsomnia?
Fergsomnia.
This is the month of Dilla for his entrance into the world and his passing on.
Right.
What do you love about J. Dilla?
Well, I'm still a student when it comes to J. Dilla. I'm still getting into his art and everything, but people say he was a master at mixing and looping beats. Like before, like you had all of these new programs and everything like that. So I just loved that about him. Like, he was real innovative, and he was pushing the culture in that way. But I'm still, like, studying the guy, and I'm very, very, very curious to know what everybody love about him.
Shake it down. Yeah, look at you. Look at me. Look at you. Look at me. Look at you, I'm seeing you. Look at me, you looking good. Look at you, do it, girl. Look at me, do it. Look at you, do it. Look at me, do it. Look at you, do it. Look at me, I'm seeing you. Look at you, do it. Look at me, you looking good. Look at you, do it. Look at me, do it. Look at you, do it. Look at me, come on. You remind me of my range. Lambskin seat covers, brothers, get your change. Get your dame, cause she want the niggas with the frames. Put the change, nigga man sick with the bang. Shit been the same since 86 and Kane. Get your main bitch, it's your nigga in my brains. And they say that's why we hold them. Send me four wheel and roll over the whole building. Chrome killing them, 20 gets is the whole deal with it. I'm so ill with it, so deal with it. I'll be potted out, without a doubt. Ha! Spot him out, wild it out, we wildin' out. Ladies, let me see you do it like, you look at me. Yeah, look at you, feel it. Yeah. Look at me, I'm seeing you. Look at you, you're doing it. Look at me, do it. Look at you, do it. Look at me, do it. Look at you, do it. Look at me, you looking good.
What do you love about him, Ollie?
To me, well, there are a couple of things. One, even though he was involved with us and we seemed to put our art a certain way and we seemed a little composed on talking about some you know, where we come from, Dilla just put it out there. You know, like, perfect example is of his album cover is him in a smoked out room with some girl, a stripper, on his cover. You know, like, his music, even though he wasn't a flamboyant person, his lyrics were crazy flamboyant in that sense. But at the same time, he always brought it back to the essence of the culture of hip hop and the base of it, you know? So that's just from his MC side. Musically, he just astounded us when we would work with him, and he had a way of hearing music that was different than the way that we heard things. And he would grab it and chop it up and put it together. And it was just like, wow, would not have figured that out.
You know, right. I didn't see it that way. Even the way, like, he replayed the samples and things like that.
Yeah. So
I apologize for the interruption, but maybe here's a good place to recommend another conversation about sampling. TED Radio Hour asked Mark Ronson to expand on a talk he gave about originality in music and how sampling works in hip-hop. To hear that and other conversations about new ways to think and create, look for the TED Radio Hour podcast at npr.org/podcasts.
He's just like, he's the king of, for me, like, hip-hop production in terms of the organic aspect of it, not the electronic aspect of it, but just the organic aspect.
That's
and his
funny.
Music is still transcending, even, you know, we're going into, oh, what is it? Is it like 7 years now, 8 years of his passing? So that's a power. And kind of to take it back to, I think, what you said in your Ferg Forever album, you say something, was it on this album, was it the Trap Lord, when you say that the music lives forever, like, we're here forever. Something.
I
like
think
that.
It's Ferg Forever.
Ferg Forever.
Yeah, Ferg Forever. I think Drama was saying that in the intro of a song.
And that was a real powerful line for me off of your mixtape.
Right.
You know, just hearing that, because the music has sort of a, it can be here for 200, 400, 500 years.
Yep, because we still going through, like, you know, whenever I get tired of hearing music of today, I go back and listen to Elvis, so I go and listen to James Brown, or look at documentaries of these guys, or, like, even Quincy Jones, when he was doing stuff for Frank Sinatra and Stevie Wonder and all of this stuff. Those are the things that inspire me. Or, like, even the Funkadelics, when they was just creating a whole nother genre, and people just outcasted them when they was, like, performing at these places and thought they was, like, bugged out. You know what I'm saying? They created a whole world where everybody was just like, yo, this is, like, obscured. Like, what type of music is this? Like, I don't mess with it. And that's what I want to do. Like, you know, Michael Jackson said one of the best things, or quoted one of the best things. He said, you know, I just... he said something like, I just want people to say something. You know, whether it's good or bad, you know, say something. Because, you know, art can never be wrong because it's art. But, like, you know, people are going to have they're going to interpret it the way they want to. But for me, I'm good. Whether you say you hate it or you love it, I want you to say something. Because if you ain't saying nothing, then that's when you got a problem on your hands.
Do you think that hip-hop is art?
Hip-hop is definitely art. It's, like, one of the best arts, because you don't really got to pay a lot of money for materials. Like, you know, I used to paint, so I know canvases and pearl paint wasn't cheap, buying them little brushes and all of that. Like,
yeah.
Or buying fabric that costs, like, buying sheepskin or ostrich. Like, that stuff is, like, $900 for a small little piece. To make something else that you have to pay production on. So, you know, for me to create music, I'm like, I always see French Montana, I'll be like, yo, they shouldn't have let us in this game. It's too easy. It's too easy, and as long as you're having fun, it's going to be easy. And like I said, I ain't going to do it if I ain't having fun.
What are the people supposed to get from your art? What do you want people to get from it?
I want people to get... some happy times from it. I want people to get a reality from it. I want people to get the latest news. I want kids to know, I want kids from the suburban world who don't know what it's like to live in the hood. I want them to get a glimpse of what it's like in our world. And then I want my homies from the hood to get a glimpse of how Selena Gomez or Ariana Grande live, because I've been to these places or been to their house. You know what I'm saying? So I want them to see, like, all right, this is, I'm basically bridging a gap. And we all listen to the same music. You know, when I'm hanging out with them, they looking at Chris Brown performances and loving his dances, or listening to ASAP records, or Nick Jonas is listening to bumping my stuff, or Madonna's son got Work as a ringtone. We all the same. Like, that's what it is about this culture of the internet. Is everything is merged. There's no racism with the internet. Racism only was, it's probably like 5 generations ago.
5?
Yeah. Racism is for, like, not, I wouldn't say generations. Yeah, like 5 generations ago. Racism bent over. It's the old people that keep on, like, holding on to it. We don't hold on to that shit. We don't know racism. We all, like, having, we, like, my brother had white girl, my little brother had white girlfriends, and that's regular, like.
We may not hold on to it, but I think there are different forms of oppression.
Oh, that, definitely, but I don't feel like
it causes separation.
But I think that's classism. I don't think it's racism.
Yeah, absolutely. I think within that oppression, though, it's also a divisive tool, and it divides us.
Definitely.
And I'm just wondering, you know, and when you say that the internet is no racism and everything is like one genre, which is how I tend to view the world through my rose-colored glasses. I also look at the effects that the music has on the people. And there comes a point in time where, you know, you are telling the world a part of what is happening that they may not necessarily see. Right. You know, but then at some point, it becomes so fantastical that the artist is missing the real picture.
Yeah, but that's when I feel like you have to have all the elements. If you're just telling them one part of the story, if you're telling them how to flip some cocaine or whatever in a song, you better be telling them what it feel like to get caught, or what right. it feel like. The aftermath, because it's all a movie. Like, you got to have a little bit of church in it, because we all need God in our life, or whatever you believe in, the higher being. Then you got to have the hustle aspect. Then you got to have, it got to be real. Just like how a movie is real, it got to be real. You can't just give them this hustle life, hustle, hustle. You're going to be hustling forever. Ain't no drug dealer hustling forever and without getting caught. You know what I'm saying? You get caught and you go to jail, you do a real long time.
What do you mean by classism?
Well, classism meaning, like, you know, it's just basically it's not about racism no more. It's about, like, you know, money.
Yeah.
Like, who got the biggest money? So we're gonna oppress these people. They don't get nothing. And it's a pyramid. That's how the pyramid works. You need, everybody plays a position. You need all of these soldiers or whatever to keep the big man up there. I want to be the big man. I don't want to be like these guys holding the big man up. It's like, I ain't going to keep giving you my money so you could be living in a lavish house and all of that. I'm going to get that big house so I can put all my soldiers on, all my young dudes that been striving for life. I'm going to give them a chance or whatever like that. And you know, everybody's not a leader. And that's cool. If they chose not to lead, then they could just put me on a pedestal if they're comfortable with just doing that. That's cool. But I'm going to give them the opportunity to become something bigger. Like, I tell everybody, like, I put Marty on, my hype man. He want to rap and all of that. He got his own little crew. I'm like, all right, you got to be the leader of your crew. You got to get your cameraman. You got to do all of this. And you got to do the work and become a leader. Like, I don't want you to be my hype man on tour next year. That's a goal that we got.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then if I put my cousin on as my assistant, yo, you got to put, now it's your responsibility to put your peoples on. And we all live around the same neighborhood or from the same neighborhood. Next thing you know, my whole neighborhood is out of the hood.
What about Crystal Cain's?
Crystal Cain's, yeah. The same thing with her. You know, she put her peoples on and Like, we'll all be in Hollywood with houses. Everybody from 143rd, Hamilton, Hungry Ham, we'll all be good if we all follow the protocol and help our people.
So you describe Dilla as flamboyant. That's probably a fair adjective for yourself. How do you feel about being on stage and having that spotlight on you and in some ways taking it off other members of your crew?
The spotlight on me and taking it away from other members of my crew? I never thought about it like that because I always thought I was doing it for the crew.
Yeah,
because sure. Honestly, if I wasn't putting out music this whole year, well, 2014, putting out music, then it probably been quiet for my crew. So I'm doing it for the crew because that's, and then when I'm quiet, hopefully 12E and Nas will step up and they'll do it for me.
I feel you. What I have in my mind is I saw the whole mob play in LA a couple months ago.
Okay.
And it was a way in which, like, I've seen you guys a bunch of times, and there are moments when, like, when Rocky is the center of attention.
Right.
And then the way I perceived what happened a couple months ago was that you were just, like, in the forefront, and he was like JFK, you know what I mean? He's like so polite and like dealing with the crowd, but he's setting you up as the star. Maybe just right now, maybe it'll be on and off.
I don't think that is we do those things intentionally. Like,
I'm sure.
We just do it because that's what we feel we need to do.
Right.
Like, it's like, yo, that's my bro. Like, I'm just as happy as to see you. I told Nas, man, I want you to be so much better than me and Rocky. Because we learn so much, it'll be stupid to make the same mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, whoever comes next after him, it's like, you have to be better than all of us put together. So that's the whole attitude that we have. So it's bigger than money. It's like, you know, just being a really, really good artist and pushing each other.
Yeah, I don't mean in any way that, like, your success takes away from other people's success.
Right.
I just mean sort of that feeling of shining and of owning that moment. Is that something that, I mean, I feel like I'm answering my own question. It seems pretty clear that you enjoy playing that role.
Oh, I love it. I love performing. Even when Rocky was that dude, like, you know, full front leader, you know what I'm saying? I played the passenger side. I was kicking my feet up though, cause I'm like, my man is rocking right now, and he gonna kick down the door, and we just gonna like mess the whole game up. Like, we just gonna go crazy, and that's what I'm thinking in my mind. Like, they think Rocky stuff is crazy. Wait until they hear my stuff. So that's why I was blacking on all the freestyles when we go to the radio shows and all that, cause I'm like, this is my time to shine. All right, Rocky got the projects and he doing the videos and, you know, whatever, but I'm going to shine through these freestyles and all of that. So, you know, I have my way of doing it.
I have to admit, your freestyle won me over on you.
Thanks, bro.
I saw freestyles like, oh. Like, you know, listening to the record, definitely the skills are sharp. And you have, I mean, your spit delivery on, if it's something fast, like Covered, got that,
yeah.
You know, and you got crazy cadences, and obviously you thinking about things in a different way. So yeah. I love that. But I saw a freestyle and I was like, oh.
Do you remember which one it was? Was it with Flex?
Were you with Riff Raff or something?
Or probably Riff Raff on the tour bus
or something like that.
I don't even remember that freestyle.
Yeah, and I just was like, I was like, oh, okay, I'm one. You won me over.
I would say it's a bit different when I freestyle from like when I make music. Because when I make music, I'm not thinking about like the regular flow that I could do that on a freestyle all day. Like, I could rap the traditional rap way, but through a song for an album, I'm thinking about creating art. Like, I wanna bend and shape my words and reshape my words and sonically take music to another level, make you feel different ways. I might hum on a song. Like, I don't care, like, as long as it feels good. But on a freestyle, I'm gonna show you I could really get down and rap, because I really come from my background is a battle background, and we used to battle each other all day in my hood. So, you know, I could do that all day. I could rap, I got punchlines, I got that. You know, get disrespectful with that.
What do you think is lacking in some of the more kind of like notable MCs out there?
I think the art is lacking because everybody's worried about money. Yeah, I think, you know, all of our artists, you know, they're probably like ex-drug dealers who found a way to just make money and flip their money. And they just rapping what they know, but it's not like what a, like, it's not really artsy. It's nothing artsy about it. Like, so it's lacking, like, the art part of it.
Can you tell us the difference between Hamilton Heights and, like, the east side of Harlem? Not East Harlem, but just the other side.
Huh?
Is there a difference between Hamilton Heights and the rest of Harlem?
I don't know Hamilton Heights.
Okay.
Like, I probably know about numbers.
Okay. Your neighborhood.
Well, my neighborhood is Hamilton Place.
My fault.
Yeah. Washington Heights, you know, I go to Washington Heights.
Okay.
But Hamilton Heights, it is a such thing as Hamilton Heights, I think. But Hamilton Place is my block.
That's okay.
Like the whole like strip from like 145th all the way to 140th.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how is the culture, the way of like living, communicating different from the rest of Harlem?
It's different because we on top of the hill. They call us, oh, you going on the hill. That's what they say. They used to call it Sugar Hill back in the days. Like, we are late on a lot of things because a lot of people don't leave that hill. A lot of people don't leave the block. They want to stay. They hug the block so hard, they don't get to see other things. That was a big thing for me back in the days. I'm like, yo, it ain't no girls walking through here. It ain't like nobody want to come through the hill. They all down the hill. They like on 7th or Lenox. Those are the more popular places. But we're so like in this box on the hill. Like nobody leaves the block. That's why you got all types of people from the block having babies with the same baby mama. And like, because you finding the same girl sexy, and it's a matter of time. Next year, she gonna have the next man baby, and it's gonna keep going on. And that's just the reality that, you know, was living. Or when people got cars, they just drive around the hood. They just want to stunt for their people. So it's like a small village on my block.
Is there's definitely a strength in that, you know, in knowing your infrastructure and where you are, and it's hard to penetrate. And so what happens culturally is strengthening in that. But
right.
How do you break that to get outside of it?
Well, I love it. I embrace it. I love the battle, like, of, like, you know, the. If I swear to God, if it was easy, I wouldn't want to do it. Hmm. Yeah, like, I think you just got to be a person that just, like, endure pain and could just work and fight through it, and you will want to see a change. It all start with change. You want to see a change, you got to start, like, changing yourself. You got to change the people around you. And the next thing you know, you got a whole community that's fighting for that change.
Love that. I want to hear that in your next record, man.
Oh, you got a lot of that in this new album.
I think you know, certain things that you hit on, and you speak on it in such a satirical way, I think, at times, but it doesn't come through to the forefront. And sometimes it has to be that way because you're speaking to, you know, specific people.
Yeah.
But, you know, knowing that you broadcast globally,
yeah.
And the way you think and the way you present yourself, and even just talking about speaking to the people you're putting on and telling them that they have a responsibility and they have to be leaders, like, that's it takes a special person to even, you know, convey that to someone. And, you know, you got parents who can't even instill that message in their children.
Man, I appreciate that. And then, I mean, and then we got to go back to the parent thing, like, as far as, like, how these kids was raised that I'm putting on. Because a lot of them don't got parents or didn't have parents to teach them. So it's like they so programmed to doing things that they, like messing up or whatever like that. And I got to kind of reprogram them to, like, and you know that's hard to reprogram a person thinking. Like, you become, like, almost, like, you just so used to
yeah.
your ways that yeah. it's like, man, I'll see a certain thing in a person and I'll be like, all right, he know how to handle himself, he know how to talk to people, this, that, and the third. But it may be something that can destroy him when he gets to the top. And I just try to hit that on the nose all the time to get rid of that, to let him know, like, you don't need that. What's that? You don't need that. And you'll get further without it.
You're talking about change and responsibilities and, you know, generational differences with regards to racism and classism.
Yeah.
I've spoken to a lot of people who are like, listen, the adults are decided. You can't change their mind. Once you hit, like, mid-30s, your personality is set. That's, like, science believes
that. I think
that.
Love overpowers all of that.
So even if you're an adult.
Yep. I think love. Because I don't care if you I don't care what color you are. If you see somebody like the dude in ICE is getting burnt and all that, man, I don't care what type of racist you is, you gotta feel some type of way about that. That's like horrifying to see that. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a cult like thing with the whole racist people. I think that they so caught up in it that they just so busy reacting, they don't really get a chance to think about what's actually going down. Because whoever is pushing this agenda of people being racist, they like, yo, keep doing it. Yeah, yeah. And they all together rooting. But the moment that person steps away from that group of people and they get to experience it by themselves, they're gonna feel it.
I would agree with that. I would hope that is the case.
I know that's the case. That's the case.
All right. Talking about pleasure and, like, making people want to feel good, a criticism of your music could be that it is so aggressive that it's off-putting or that it makes people feel bad, makes people feel under attack in some way.
Supposed to.
Okay. Can you?
Because when I was creating the song, it came from a place of wanting to attack.
Yeah.
Or came from something I seen that motivated me to make that song. Like, all of these songs come from somewhere. Like, all of these songs is real, truthful songs. Like, whether it's with the beat or whether it's with the words. So if you're feeling that way, then you're supposed to feel that way.
Okay. And is a way for somebody to get pleasure from that song then to put themselves in your shoes?
Yeah, I mean, because we all want to be aggressive sometimes, and we all need music to fight against something sometimes.
Yeah.
So when I scream "Let it go," and you hear them gunshots, and it's like riding music, you know, for people to stand up and fight against something. It's like warrior music. But then you hear songs like "Hood Pope" or "Cocaine Castle," it's like conscious music. It's like "Cocaine Castle." You got your pimps, your lawyers, your doctors, and priests going to this crack house to, you know, smoke drugs. And you got babies crying and all of that. So I want people to get a real visual and emotion out of the music.
Let me sing my song. If you feel this shit, motherfucker, sing along. Chain hang low, red rubies in the gold. Young trap low, feel your pain. I'll be down for my people. Drinking Jesus juice, jeans hang low, red rubies in the gold. And we sip 'cause we hurting. Pull a chrome fifth when they murk them. Then murk off an excursion, all 'cause a nigga be lurking. Big money shit we earning. A bunch of hooligans need churching. I'm the hood pope, these my children. And I'll be there, don't need my clerking. Gold teeth when I'm smirking. Bunch of little kids run around, need nurturing. Lord know that I ain't really perfect. All of these clowns run around this circus. Lord, please, what is my purpose? Besides fucking these Persians. Popping these bottles and popping these models. Please tell me, where is the Sherman? And I'm smoking my weed. Put me in my zone. Demons chasing me, 'cause they want my dome. And I carry the heat, and I sleep with that crown. 'Cause I'm in some beef, and they want my dough. Let me sing my song. If you feel this shit, motherfucker, sing along. This the hood pole, chain hang low, red rubies in the gold.
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, I think that the numbers show that.
Yeah.
Right? Where are you in the making of the next album right now? Part of the process.
I think I'm to the point where it's like I'm just making music just to make music now. So I'm probably like done, I think. You know? I don't know. I could never say I'm done really, like, but my manager is like, yo, you done.
Do you have a name?
Nope. That's the hard part right there. It might not have a name on it because it's so tough to put a name on it.
Why?
Because, I don't know, Trap Lord came kind of natural because that's my name. But this next album is hard because it's just not coming that simple to me.
It's different than just you.
Yeah, it's bigger than me. It's not even about me. It's about every kid that's like me.
Okay.
And every kid that's not like me to understand a kid that's like me.
Right.
What does the world 400 years from now look like to you?
400 years later?
400 years from now.
What's the world, the movie with Will Smith and his son?
I Am Legend?
No, not that one.
Oh, that's the scariest movie of all time.
The one where like Will crashed his spaceship and like hurt his leg and everything.
I didn't see that one.
That's what the world will look like to me.
Hmm. So just nature?
It'll probably like be like destroyed or something like that, and certain people will be living, and it'll be a bunch of robots. It'll be a bunch of robots and stuff controlling things, and you'll have robots with a lot of human-like features, so you won't even really... It's so much people getting plastic surgery now, right? From the woman to the guys. Like, guys want to look like females, like all the transvestites or whatever, right? Like, they get the same plastic surgery done, so you won't be able to tell whether that's a guy or a female. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's going to be the same way for robots. You ain't going to be able to tell a robot guy or a robot female. Like, everything going to be one. Robots going to have human-like feelings, emotions. We're going to program robots so much to the point they're going to be so human-like, it's going to kind of dehumanize the whole world.
Have you been to Japan?
Yeah, I've been to Japan, but I ain't learned none of that in Japan. I was just on buying clothes and stuff.
Okay. I've never been.
Yeah. But they already making people like that. Like, you know, people with built-in... this is one guy. I forget his name, but he's blind. But he can... he could hear color.
What?
Yeah, he can hear color. Like, so he'll listen to music and he'll paint the colors out because he has this chip embedded in his brain. And it's a whole community of cyborgs like that. They call them cyborgs.
That's crazy. Why is that going to happen?
Yeah, I'm trying to digest that. I'm like, you're saying it. I'm just like, man, that world,
I understand where you're coming from, like, because we coming from, like, I'm old school. I'm an old school dude, so I'm like, all of this new stuff that's happening with the robot, I miss, like, touching the CD and popping the tape in the radio and things like that. But in order to survive in this world or industry, you have to know what's going on. To some people, they feel like it's an advance or it can help them with a lot of things because there's some people would never see or know what red looks like, but this chip helps them to see color. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if Stevie Wonder could see.
Can Stevie Wonder secretly see? Can we talk about that?
You listen to his lyrics and you, like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Completely. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's, I'm just trying to picture that world. It doesn't sound like a very a place that's...
That you would want to be, right?
That you want to be. I'm like, where's the love in that? You know, and that's... But that... it's rooted to where we are now, is why I asked the question.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the beginning of it. Like, you know, I hate it every day. Like, you know, it's, you know... I mean, I don't want to get all like, I don't want to stop my my stripper walkthrough club money, but you know, these females gotta stop with this plastic surgery thing. It's killing me. Like, you know, I'm like not even looking no more. I'm like, cool. Like I look at something I really like. Like, you know, the girl gotta be like absolutely, you know, beautiful. And, you know, I don't consider, you know, that, you know. And then it's like, what's beautiful? It's like, once everybody looks the same from these, they say, oh, I wanna look like Kim Kardashian. I wanna look like this, I wanna look like that. What's beautiful after that? Like, it's nobody has a hump in their nose, or nobody has a gap, or you're getting your gaps closed. What's the difference? What's unique about you? You look like her. Why would I want you?
So your vision for the future, like, it's not very hopeful then.
No, my vision for the future is... you would have to buy my album to see.
I like that. I like that.
Whatever. Well, then you'll have to just come back after it's out.
Of course. And we have to do a video interview so they can see my beautiful face.
We can do that at South By.
And for all the ladies, I won't wear my grills because I know y'all love to see my real teeth.
What? Who told you that?
I posted a picture on Instagram. And I didn't have the grills in my mouth, and I was smiling, and all the girls was like, oh, you don't need to wear those. Stop wearing grills and all of this. And I was like, yeah, I like my grills. They very shiny. But I'll keep the grills at home for the next interview.
For the talking
If we do
part.
Video, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for all your time.
Thank you.
Likewise.
I want to say I love it took me a minute to warm up, and I have no problem saying that about myself. Franny and I would talk about you a lot.
Oh, man.
And I understand, you know, your artistry, and I respect it. That goes beyond the music.
Right.
And I just want to leave you with, you have a platform, and it's a large one. And I don't know what will happen with the rest of your fam, your team, but I know with you specifically, you stand out in a great way. Just with that, especially after a lot of what you've said, just make sure when you have that platform, because we don't always have it long,
right?
You know, just make it such an impression that the love and true love, people are able to feel that through the generations.
Listen, y'all ain't never got to worry about me going to Hollywood. I'm too real for that shit. I'll go there.
I'll
drink some champagne with them, but I'm gonna come back.
All right. Thank you again.
All right.
Thank you.